Episode 844, August 12, 2026. Welcome back to Serotair's Daily Reading. Let's kick things off with a meaty one from A16DZ. Christian Catalini has a piece called Some Simple Economics of Open versus Closed AI. The core question: does it actually matter whether AI models stay proprietary or get released as open weights? Catalini walks through historical examples, including some fascinating work from Petra Moser on the 1851 Great Exhibition, to argue that open versus closed doesn't really change the level of innovation. It changes where that innovation goes. Switzerland had no patent system back then and ended up crowding into fields like scientific instruments and food processing, where secrecy and lead time gave them advantages anyway. Same total amount of innovation, just allocated differently. His bigger point is that closed labs may keep pushing the most general frontier, while open weights let experimentation spread across domains where you can combine AI with scarce data, distribution, and tacit knowledge. The real differentiator isn't whether openness is dangerous in the abstract. It's about whether diffusion strengthens defenders and where harmful capabilities can actually be constrained. Now from Sean Gadecki, a piece with a punchy title, No, Local Models Will Not Win. He's pushing back on the idea that open-weight models running on laptops or phones will eventually dominate. His argument is straightforward. Data center models are always going to be cheaper and more powerful, and that's not likely to change. The key insight is batching. GPUs can do hundreds of thousands of operations at the same speed as one, but individual user inference can't be batched. Put hundreds of users together and you're running inference for essentially the same cost as one user. Plus, data center GPUs like the B200 are just fundamentally more efficient than consumer RTX cards for this kind of work. He estimates you're looking at roughly 30 times the resources to run the same model locally. That said, he acknowledges local models will always have a niche, offline use cases, people who value steering models locally, those with unreliable internet. But the majority of inference will flow through data centers. Staying on the Google Cloud beat, YK has a comparison piece. I built the same agent three ways: interactions, API, ADK, and the anti-gravity SDK. All three can build an agent that answers, "What does Hacker News think about X?" using BigQuery. The interactions API gives you the most code, but the fewest dependencies and total control. You write the tool and the loop yourself. ADK brings a framework with pre-built tool integrations, so there's less code, but you get BigQuery and other services wired in more elegantly. The anti-gravity SDK is the harness approach, where you get built-in file and shell tools plus MCP support, though it's Gemini only. His takeaway, ADK plus Cloud Run, is probably the sensible default, with the interactions API being good for learning and anti-gravity being solid if you want those file editing and shell capabilities. Google also announced the Developer Device Platform, which gives you access to Android devices in the cloud for testing mobile apps. You get interactive debugging with device streaming and parallel testing across hundreds of devices. The interesting angle here is that it's designed for agentic development. Coding agents can interact with real hardware, spot visual artifacts, analyze on-device performance, and validate fixes for hardware-specific bugs. Available in public preview starting today. Here's one that might ruffle some feathers. Composite Code has a piece called That Gap is Still Widening, but the bottleneck was never engineering. The argument is that while AI has dramatically increased what individual engineers can produce, the overall system hasn't accelerated proportionally. Features completed quickly sit for weeks waiting for approval. Product decisions that take months are backed by implementation work that takes days. The author, drawing heavily on Deming, calls this management debt. the accumulated layers of process, approval chains, committees, and bureaucracy that never get removed. The claim is that organizations need to apply systems thinking and actually start dismantling these structures, because AI alone won't do it. He estimates 90% of organizations still carry enough management debt to prevent them from realizing even half of what AI could deliver. Flutter 3.47 is out with its updates, plus a corresponding Dart 3.3 release. The research file doesn't have the full details, but you can check Flutter Dev for what's new. From Martin Fowler, a fascinating empirical piece on TDD inside the agent loop. The author ran the same coding tasks with and without test-driven development instructions for AI agents, then had Opus evaluate the results without knowing which workflow produced which. The finding: no clearly discernible difference. Opus actually ranked the non-TDD solutions slightly higher in design and test quality more than once. The analysis suggests that non-TDD runs created the full design up front before writing any code, while TDD runs let design emerge from locally minimal decisions and often locked in whatever shape the first test happened to require. The author concludes that TDD's benefits, small steps, fast feedback, managing fear, are largely human-centered benefits that don't transfer well when an agent does TDD inside its own loop. The costs are real, though, at least 3 times the tokens. His advice is to stop insisting. Agents, write tests first, and instead focus on mutation testing to monitor regression quality and other ways to achieve the same goals. From Aprite, the CLI is now written in Go. The command surface doesn't change, but the performance numbers are striking. Startup time drops from 207 milliseconds to 11 milliseconds. Installation goes from 330 NPM packages and 209 megabytes on disk down to just 2 packages and 13 megabytes. Memory during a push operation drops from 283 megabytes to 28, and the binary comes in at 14 megabytes with no runtime dependency. The push command was the primary motivation. The old TypeScript implementation read the full archive into memory before uploading, so peak memory scaled with deployment size. The Go implementation streams chunks through an HTTP write buffer instead. They went with Go over Rust because the async model maps well to concurrent network operations. Aprite already had a Go SDK, and cross-compilation across 6 release targets just works with Goose and Gorch. From Google developers, Mastering Edge, AI on Raspberry Pi with LightRT and Gemma. LightRT is Google's on-device inference runtime, and when paired with Gemma models, you can run surprisingly capable AI on a Raspberry Pi 5. The Gemma 4E2B model delivers 99 tokens per second for prefill and 9 tokens per second for decode, all with a peak memory footprint of just 1432 megabytes. Text generation runs at about 27 characters per second, or roughly 300 words per minute. That's twice the speed of normal human speech. The Post walks through a demo with the Ricci Mini robot, which uses YOLO on the GPU for object detection, Moonshine on the CPU for speech recognition, Gemma 4E2B for reasoning and action, and a text-to-speech model for the response, all running locally on the Pi with no cloud dependency. From Daniel Messler, a piece on where an AI watermark can hide in plain text. Last week, Anthropic announced it would start watermarking everything Claude produces, and Messler explores how this actually works. His initial instinct was that it can't be done with plain ASCII. There's no room to hide bits in uniform text. But the answer is that watermarks can live in word choice rather than in coding. You give the model a secret key, and at each generation step it leans slightly toward the words that key favors. To a reader, the text looks normal, but anyone with the key can statistically detect the lean. Because the signal is in the words themselves, it survives copying and pasting. Editing replaces words, which weakens the mark. Stripping it completely requires a rewrite. But if another AI does the rewrite, you've just swapped Claude's watermark for that model's. Only a human actually rethinking the text clears it. From Google Antigravity, introducing custom agents. This is a feature that gives you file-based agent configurations with scoped instructions, tools, and constraints. The interesting twist is execution symmetry. Unlike other tools where custom agents are sub-agents only, Antigravity lets you run a custom agent as the main agent too, just by flipping a flag in the YAML. Front matter. You also get scoped safety policies with a command execution policy that lets the agent autonomously run standard test and compilation commands while keeping high-risk operations behind manual approval. And there are rich lifecycle hooks for things like running a setup script before the agent starts or intercepting specific tool calls to verify the environment first. Wrapping up with InfoQ's Cloud and DevOps Trends report for 2026. A few themes jump out. AI has moved from experimentation to enterprise execution. Organizations are shifting from individual coding assistants to centrally governed AI platforms with model catalogs and team workspaces. Cloud reliability is back in focus after some high-profile outages reminded everyone that resilience and multi-region design still matter. Platform teams are evolving from builders to enablers, standardizing AI capabilities and reducing shadow platforms. On FinOps, the panel was candid that connecting AI token spending to actual business outcomes is still unsolved, and digital sovereignty is becoming a real architectural concern, especially in Europe, though the honest assessment is that full sovereignty is hard when your entire estate runs on American platforms. The strong shared advice from the panel, resist AI washing, keep asking where automation genuinely adds value, and pair AI-enabled execution with platform governance and honest measurement. That's episode 844